The next time you're on Interstate 80, stop in and see the folks at the Iowa 80 Truck Stop at Exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. They're always open and ready to serve you. Enjoy a sit-down meal at the Iowa 80 Kitchen or grab a bite from one of their 9 quick-serve restaurants. You'll love their clean restrooms, huge gift store, beautiful convenience store, and, of course, the Super Truck Showroom stocked with plenty of chrome, lights, and more. While you're there, don't forget to visit the Iowa 80 Trucking Museum next door. It's free. The entire team at the Iowa 80 is very excited to celebrate 60 years with you. They look forward to being your home away from home for another 60 years. Sending you a giant thank you from Iowa 80, the world's largest truck stop on I-80, exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. Iowa 80.
It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show from the Uniden America Studios. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the planet, we are Red Eye Radio. Good morning. Welcome. Thank you. Hello. He's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara.
Hello.
All right, a couple of stories I love here. Here's a headline. Former Justice Breyer rips conservative Supreme Court for giving the nation a constitution that no one wants. Breyer said originalism will overlook lots of changes designed to further the value of protecting basic civil rights because the world has changed. All right?
Okay.
He elaborated on the points that he said, reading the Constitution, why I chose pragmatism, not textualism.
Yeah.
In it, the former liberal justice spent time criticizing the interpretations of his former conservative colleagues. He said, if the court continues to deploy their methods of interpretation, Breyer told me, we will have a Constitution that no one wants. It's a remarkable statement from a Supreme Court justice. That came from the Politico magazine senior writer. No, it isn't.
No,
it's not a remarkable statement. I mean, it is in the context of the fact that he is promoting authoritarianism, because right now the Democrats are really moving in that way.
Yeah.
They're calling, for example, calling Trump authoritarian, and then everything they're trying to do to keep him from running shows that they're authoritarian, from the lawfare to what happened in, for example, in Colorado and other states where they tried to keep him off the ballot.
Right.
And the Supreme Court knocked it down. What Breyer is saying simply is the fact that if the conservative justices do what they're constitutionally required to do, which is you interpret what the Constitution means, you don't make law, you interpret what it means.
Right.
If the public doesn't like it, for example, as Justice Breyer says, well, it's a constitution that no one wants. Well,
yeah,
okay. I do.
I do.
Maybe no liberal does. Maybe no one. Maybe somebody who doesn't believe in free speech doesn't. Maybe somebody who doesn't believe it works. Maybe you have someone who doesn't believe in freedom of speech that believes the Constitution is flawed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe somebody who doesn't believe in the Second Amendment and believe nobody should have a gun believes that we have a U.S. Constitution that no one wants. Maybe somebody who doesn't believe that we should have a Senate, that we should have a Constitution that says the popular vote counts, not the states, if you wish to change the entire makeup of what the country is about, well, then, yeah, I would say that the Constitution is something that you don't want. If you're against the Electoral College, if you want the 4 or 5 biggest states to control everything for the rest of the other 53 states, anybody pick up on my math?
Mm-hmm.
well, then you don't believe in the you don't believe in the Constitution, so of course it's a Constitution you don't want.
Right.
But obviously, anybody with a – and this is where, again, somebody will say, well, he's an expert. He's a Supreme Court justice. He knows blah, 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 blah. Yeah. He knows nothing. Yeah. Stop it. What he is saying is, I don't like the way the Constitution is written. I'm impatient. I don't wish to go through the constitutional process. I don't believe that the people are smart enough. And so I, as the elitist judge, will say to hell with my oath, and I will promote democracy by behaving in an authoritarian way and making law instead of interpreting law. That's what he's saying.
You're too stupid to be to have freedom.
Right. We have a constitutional process and a constitutional amendment process that you can go through.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way that it works.
Yep.
It's that simple. You don't sit there and say, well, what I like is taking too long to get there. Because, hey, what I like, I'm never going to see. Taxes are too damn high. We shouldn't be in the debt that we're in. There should be an absolute in the Constitution of the United States that we have to balance our budget. We can only borrow for war or a major national emergency. Yeah, I'm never going to get that in. I had no chance of ever getting that in.
Not
that
happen.
Should be in there because we see the damage that it's causing our republic.
Yep.
So there's things I don't like. It can't be in there. I can't go on the Supreme Court tomorrow as a judge and say, well, then I'm just going to come out and say that we have to have a balanced budget in this country and we're going to make it constitutional. We on the Supreme Court, that five of us are going to do that. That's wrong. That would be authoritarianism, which is exactly what Breyer is promoting. But the arrogant elitist is attempting to promote authoritarianism, and the closest you can get to being a dictator, which is a few people actually control where the country goes, the arrogance that they believe that they can actually supersede a democracy with, in essence, when you think of it, it's five people, a dictatorship, a shared dictatorship, totalitarianism is the way to have a better democracy.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the insanity that Breyer is preaching.
That's a constitution nobody wants.
Jeez. I don't like where it's going. It's not happening fast enough. I want to be the dictator. That's what he's saying.
And he was put in place on the high court and served there for years to do what job? Interpret the Constitution.
Right.
He's and by the way, I mean, there's no reason, it doesn't matter if he even came out and said, well, look, I've just recently realized that it's a constitution nobody wants. Actually, that's not the case. He's always been of this mindset.
Yeah.
You can go back and read his opinions for years, and you see it.
Well, the interesting thing is, by saying what he's saying, think about this. Because we know where the left is going. The left believes there's too much freedom of speech. Mm. The left believes there's too much freedom of religion. Mm-hmm. The left wants the Second Amendment completely gone. They don't want the Second Amendment.
Right, right.
That needs to go completely.
Yep.
They don't believe in the Senate. They don't believe in the Electoral College. And by him saying that he's on the moral.
Or maybe moral.
I don't know. Maybe I was right the first time.
Maybe.
The moral, that his moral high ground is destroying the separation of powers.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. That's his moral high ground. His getting back to democracy is destroying the separation of powers in the Constitution. That's a Constitution that doesn't work. One that says, no, the laws are made through the elected representatives, through the people. And
right.
You're the part of the branch that interprets the Constitution. You don't make law. You don't say, I don't like this part of the Constitution, and then say, so I'm going to create law. Because then at that point, when you have that, that's the dictatorial authoritarian mindset, the totalitarian mindset, the wrong mindset to have in the United States of America. And he tries to promote it as, you know, virtue signaling for caring about our democracy. This is where the Democratic Party and liberalism is today. It's so easy to argue. Republicans, argue it, please.
Yeah. And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. There's a lot more yawning these days. Have you noticed that? Yeah. And the bad thing about yawning, it's contagious. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I do know that's true. You see somebody else yawn, all of a sudden, you got to yawn. You know what helps to curtail the yawning? How about a great night's rest at Motel 6? Book online at motel6.com. Use the code CPREDEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price you will love when you use the code CPREDEye. That's the letters CPREDEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel 6. And help curtail the yawning. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
You know, look, Breyer can say it now, but in his opinions, he kind of said it then while he was on the High Court. But this is how they think. Look, and we'll get into these positions, even Sotomayor, when she was caught on a hot mic and she forgot she was being recorded, talking about, no, we're put here to legislate from the bench. I mean, I know we're not supposed to say that after she realized, oh, crap, we're being recorded.
And think about it. The liberal justices, the latest liberal justice, who also has that same mindset of authoritarianism, that I'm here to make law, not interpret it, because it doesn't happen fast enough, can't even tell you what a woman is.
Right.
So we put these people in power. And the latest Supreme Court justice, who believes the same as all the rest of the liberals on the Supreme Court, that we should be, except in some circumstances they don't. In some circumstances they actually follow the Constitution. We saw it recently with Colorado.
Yeah,
they made the right. They made the right decision then. The states have no business involved in it. Now, is that because they believe in the Constitution or they want to protect what is their power? They don't want the states to take away their power as a Supreme Court.
Yeah, well.
We asked that question when that, you know, why did they agree?
Well, yeah, it could be that and a combination of all the above, including adding in the whole what's good for the goose is good for the gander thing and what kind of chaos it would actually mean and how chaotic it would be. But, yeah, you see this time and time again. They do this. It's not just at the Supreme Court. It's other positions in the courts, and it's in the judicial branch. The activists in now that we see in the Justice Department and in law enforcement. You know, it's not everybody at the DOJ, but it's many at the top. You see the activists, and they know prosecutors, they know they can get elected if it's an elected position. They know they can get elected by saying, I'm going to go after this Republican or, you know, Donald Trump or whoever it is over and over again. So it's not just in the judicial branch, and it's not just on Capitol Hill. These activists are everywhere. You're too stupid for freedom. We'll take it away from you at every turn with whatever power we have at hand. And Breyer tried to do that repeatedly. Yep.
But you just need to, you need, when somebody like Breyer speaks and they analyze it, you actually have to communicate effectively what he's actually saying. And
yeah, right.
Because the Democrats now are on this kick that to not follow the Constitution in order to stop Donald Trump is protecting democracy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the absurdity of it right now. For us, democracy is us not following the Constitution to ensure that Donald Trump can't run, as you can see the mindset of a longtime Supreme Court justice, now retired, who is saying the exact same thing. Democracy be damned. I make the law, and I make the law in order to protect democracy.
Yeah. Yep.
And these are the intellectual geniuses of the left.
Yeah.
I think not. 866-90-RED-EYE.
This morning's USDA Farm Report is brought to you by Howe's Products. Tested, trusted, guaranteed since 1920.
In the wake of those winter-like storms across the country this week, some very cold air. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says the cold is covering a lot of ground.
Already by Tuesday morning, March 26th, we saw hard freezes all the way down into West Texas, where Lubbock reported a low temperature of 27 degrees. We are expecting additional freezes across the southern high plains into Wednesday morning, and then also sub-freezing temperatures expected into the mid-south.
As far as the effects on winter wheat?
Most of the heading wheat is still safely to the south, mainly across southern and central Texas. So not expecting any permanent damage to the crop, but we could certainly see some burn back of some new growth of winter wheat across the central and southern plains.
Farmers are also keeping an eye on ornamental plants and blooming fruit trees. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
This report brought to you by Cenex Fuels and Lubes.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. You know what other countries think of us? Just the headline. Mexican president says flow of migrants will continue unless the U.S. meets his demands, which includes sending billions to Mexico and other Latin American countries from the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the flow of migrants will continue.
Yep.
Issued a series of demands of what the U.S. must do to stop the flow of migrants at the border, ranging from sending Latin American countries $20 billion in aid to granting some level of amnesty to illegal immigrant workers in the U.S. Well, that doesn't stop the flow of immigrants.
No, it doesn't.
Wow.
Yeah. Look, we're going to get zero respect from the rest of the world. That's just going to be the case.
Wow.
From now on. And why is it the liberals think that we can appease everyone else in the world? Everyone else in the world, we're trying to appease, and we can't say America first. Don't put that on your jersey.
Can't do that, no.
Even if it's only about a credit union.
Yeah, America First Credit Union found that out with the team. Can't do that.
Yeah. No, we're too busy. The left is too busy trying to appease the rest of the world.
America last. America last. That's what the
freedom.
You know something? Seriously, the DNC should that should be it.
America last.
2024. America last.
Right. Well, no, they proudly promote that. They proudly say that we don't want to be American exceptionalism is wrong.
In order for America to last, it must be America last.
That's right.
Yeah, try selling that one.
We're going to lead from behind.
Wait a minute. We've already had that one.
That sounds like something I would tell my wife. Hey, I'm going to mow the lawn from the couch.
Well, what kind of genius would come up with that we're going to lead from behind? You know, who would come up with that? I mean, someone who maybe thought that race is a social construct.
Yeah.
You really can be whatever race you wish to. Oh, that was the smartest president ever, President Obama. Oh yeah, remember how smart he was? Oh, he was the smartest person in the room.
Yeah.
No, not many people say that anymore, do they? You don't really hear that anymore.
They don't. In fact, by the end of his second term, many on the left were saying, "Yeah, he didn't really do anything for us." It's
amazing.
But it's where we are.
Other countries dictating to us.
Yeah.
Well, either you do this. If you do this, it will do that.
We'll tell you what you're going to do with your border.
Yeah, we'll tell you what we're going to do with your border, Mexican president.
And we'll lay down like the coward that is in the White House right now. Joe Biden's a coward.
Well, after his pro-terrorism remarks over the last couple of days and betraying and abandoning American hostages with the vote abstaining from voting for the UN resolution.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
He's a coward.
He's an absolute coward. I've never seen this since I've been alive, an American president and a party that has betrayed and abandoned American hostages. Unbelievable. And that's what he did the other day. It is absolutely one of the most reprehensible things I've ever seen from an American president or an American political party.
Yep.
You know, we saw it. They have no problem abandoning American soldiers.
No.
As we saw happen at Abbey Gate. No problem. Lying about what the generals told them of about a war that we've been in, lying to the American people about it.
Right.
And now it's American hostages. We don't give a damn whether you live or die.
Nope.
We don't give a damn about you.
Nope.
We're the Democratic Party. I'm Joe Biden.
America last.
Soon, they'll be going into a deep dive. Make time. Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. Looking here, California fast food chains are starting to lay off workers as a $20 hour minimum wage looms. California restaurants are reportedly laying off staff and reducing hours for other team members in an effort to cut costs ahead of the California state law taking effect on April 1st. It will raise fast food workers' hourly wages to $20 an hour in the months leading up to the wage mandate. California eateries, particularly pizza joints, have established a plan to cut jobs, according to state records obtained by the Wall Street Journal. This story, though, in the New York Post, but they're relating the Wall Street Journal article. Pizza Hut and Round Table Pizza. A California-founded chain of 400 pizza parlors, mostly on the West Coast, said they plan to lay off around 1,280 delivery drivers this year, according to records that major employers must submit to the state before large layoffs, the Journal reported. So it's just not a report. This is what they're reporting to the state.
Mm-hmm.
Just as an immediate story saying this is what they might do. Pizza Hut already sent notices to employees informing them of their last day. Southern California, which operates 224 Pizza Huts in the greater Los Angeles area, offered $400 in severance if employees stayed for a particular amount of time this year, and then they're going to get laid off. And, you know, one of the things that we had talked about, two things this week, both where I heard the same explanation, I went, wow. People really don't understand business. They really don't. One was the kitchen appreciation fee that restaurants are now putting on there. And it's to pay the cooks, the kitchen help, because they can't find it. So they got to pay more. So you have restaurants, instead of just, upping the menu prices, when you get your bill, you get, along with the tax, an appreciation fee. Now, what probably ticks off people is there is if you're not told about it up front.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah.
The price. Now, if it's on the menu, you get it, goes a particular kitchen appreciation fee is all of it. You would think that they would have to be transparent in most states about that.
Yeah. I would think.
Yeah, because that isn't voluntary. That's not like a tip.
Right.
You have to
if
to
it's
pay
included
that.
In the cost, in the overall cost, I would think that would have to be disclosed.
And we mentioned the other day the one woman who just said, I'm getting sick of the owners of these restaurants doing it. They need, you know, they need to take their fair share. You know, they need to take this hit and not pass it on to consumers. Hmm. They're customers. It's like, do you understand how business works?
Yeah, you haven't a clue.
And the other thing is, a lot of my friends, you know, because I grew up in Buffalo, and a lot of people I know are season ticket holders of the Bills.
Yeah.
Well, they're building the new stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And it's leaking out what the personal seat licenses are going to be. Though I saw this one story. This one guy has 8 season tickets. In the club,
right
at the old stadium, and he pays for those 8 tickets a year, $24,000. All right,
okay.
His new comparable tickets in the new stadium are outside, not inside. He has to pay $400,000 up front, and then the ticket prices will probably go up. They say anywhere between 40% and 75%. And people are just furious. People are livid. And that same argument was given. You know, it's time for the owner to pay his fair share of it. The New York State taxpayer have. We're paying ticket prices. He needs to pay his share. Like, you understand how this works?
Not how it works. It's not how any of this works.
If the taxpayer paid a certain amount of it, you're the person who goes to the game. The person who goes to the game, buys the merchandise, whatever, they're the ones that are going to foot the bill. Owners don't foot the bill. They pass it on to their customers.
My landlord needs to pay his share of my rent.
It's like, that's where the left is now. It's like, wow.
Yeah, but... It was, again, more and more as we built the pathology of dependency, it was, well, then the rich need to pay. Because when you start throwing out stupid things like, they need to be paying their fair share, well, they're paying the largest chunk of any group. Yeah, but they're still not paying enough. They still have a lot more left over. Yeah, and you shouldn't pay any, right?
Well, the beauty of fair share is you never have to give a number.
Right, yeah.
The left loves that.
Come on, what's fair?
Well, we have asked that. I have asked that question because since I've been a talk show host, now 35 years in October? Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's 35 years in October. I've been doing talk radio.
All right.
Since 89, so.
Okay.
Yeah, since the first week of October of 89. Fair share has been thrown out for 35 years. Nobody has ever told me what the fair share should be, ever. And I've asked the question so many times to politicians, to Democratic politicians. I used to ask it all the time when they would come on my show when I did the, you know, day shows. Well, what's a fair share? Well, it's more than, well, how much more? You know, you keep throwing up. And the fact is you can't define what a fair share is. Otherwise, you put a cap on what you can collect. And you can't do that. So if you raise taxes and the next thing becomes, well, they need to pay their fair share, which is more than what was their fair share before.
Right.
But they can never tell you what the fair share is, ever. But the whole thing with somehow now it's not on their income, because if you're talking about inflation, inflation isn't the fact that the owner of that restaurant is making more money and therefore is putting, you know, part of the profits back into it.
Mm-hmm.
This is simply, the costs of my business and the profits of my business come from the customer. The fact that we have to explain this all the time is problematic when you think about our education system today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I just love that. Well, the owners need to pay. That was my favorite one, was the one Buffalo Bill was fan. This woman said that about her season ticket, and it was individual, and it was like, I don't even know what the personal seat license was going to be. And she said, he needs to pay his fair share. And I understand the point they're making, you know, and then the rest of the people that aren't buying season tickets went, well, why do I got to pay anything for your enjoyment to be there? You need to pay that too. Oh, and the debate back and forth was some of the most entertaining stuff I've seen. Mm. But the one woman in the restaurant, that was just the best. Well, you know something? The owners need to pay this and stop passing the cost. The owner needs to pay a living wage to all of these people in the kitchen, a lot more than they're making, and they don't need to pass that cost on to the customer.
Yeah.
Like, you just shake your head going, what world do they live in? And I'm thinking, okay, they live in the world where they believe a man can be a woman if a man says so. So anything is possible. There must be a money tree out there. It just exists.
Right.
And customers paying for the total cost of somebody's business? No. The consumer shouldn't pay for the cost and profits of your business. You need to pay some of that yourself.
Right. Yes. Quit passing on the cost to the consumer.
It's like, wow. They have no idea how it works.
I want my stuff for free.
Yeah.
Well, we got into this when we started talking about the idea of, all right, no one should make a dime profit on healthcare.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, then no one should make a dime profit off of food. Most people don't require healthcare.
Every day.
Us older people are not included in this discussion. And just quiet down, would you? You kids, get out of our yard. But most people,
all you elderly people younger than me,
yes, most people don't require that care every day. You require food every day, water
every day. Why isn't that? Why does anybody make money on water and food?
Right. Car. I need transportation.
Yeah.
I need that awesome truck that's sitting out front right now.
Right.
I need that, and no one should make a dime profit off of that. You're telling me, listen, those companies need to build those vehicles and pay those workers a living wage and then pass the savings on to me. Seriously, it's like,
I know,
it's like being in this weird maze of a game when you try and get into the mindset of people. And it's really simple to break down. It is, how dare they?
You know,
well, you don't have to go to the restaurant. You don't have to work. You don't have to work fast food. You know, this whole, they need a living wage. Then they should work up. They should try and work up the ladder. They should get an education. They should get experience. They should do it the way we all should do it. And that is work your way up to a wage that you earn. See, this is the problem. They don't ever use that word earn. The rich have something. Well, no, they earned it. They earned it.
Well, the one good thing the left has done, they have made it so I have no need for delusional, hallucinogenic drugs.
Yeah. Yep.
Because they expand my mind in bizarro ways every day.
Yeah. No.
Reality. I have this horrible kind of nicotine high.
Yeah.
A few times when I smoked a cigarette and would, you know, smoke it and breathe in the nicotine, and you'd actually get that sick high. Mm. That's what I get. That's what I get every day when I
nausea.
Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of high I'm getting.
Yeah.
From the left. That's a left kind of high going, this is so, oh God, please. Oh,
yeah.
Man. Oh, I'm not enjoying this at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. Why does anybody do this? What's the point of any of this? Yeah.
It's funny because I don't remember the last time I smoked a cigarette, but I can still remember when it was an old radio guy. So this has to go back, I don't know, 30, 35 years. And I think I just tried it once because this guy smoked, remember the Marlboro Unfiltereds?
Yeah. Oh, oh, wow.
Now that was a cancer stick. I still go to the, I mean, I was at the doctor yesterday. He goes, breathe in, breathe out. I'm like, I wonder if that one cigarette 35 years ago has affected the health of my lungs.
Well, I have a genetic lung disease, and I actually asked my doctor, my pulmonary specialist. I said, okay, I got to, you know, because he said, are you a smoker? I said, no. He goes, have you ever been a smoker? I said, no, but, you know, there was this time when I was 10. And, you know, we snuck out behind the fence and tried a cigarette. He goes, did you ever have a smoking habit? I said, nope. That one occurrence, basically, that one event kept me from ever developing a smoking habit. And he was like, okay, because that's what we're not talking about that. But I, you know, it's so wild to look at where we are right now and think about, you know, first of all, how I lived for this long based on the things we tried. But we are in such a delusional state about how things work.
Yeah, we really are.
People just don't seem to get it. And I can't tell you why.
They're completely ignorant as to how things work.
They really are.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. You know, you see it across the board when we bring up these economic issues here. People just have the belief that government can change economics. They can manipulate the economy, but mm-hmm. they can't change economics. And so there is all if you take money, if it costs more to do business, that's going to be passed on to the consumer.
Yep.
Or a combination of being passed on to the consumer,
yep.
less mm-hmm. product being produced, mm-hmm. or layoffs.
Right.
The only results that come from it.
Yep. I mean, that's it. And if you don't get that, maybe you need to start your own business. Maybe that would be a good lesson for you.
I think so.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen. Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.